Nora.
Hello. Hi, everybody. Hopefully you can hear me and see me sort of all right. I know we've been told our camera isn't brilliant, but that's not a problem when it's my face you're looking at. Anyway, so I am going to be praying with Paul this morning. We're going to be looking at that prayer that we've just heard a little bit together. And what this is basically Paul writing a letter to his friends. And instead of just starting, "Dear so-and-so, how are you? What have you been doing?" "Well, actually, I've been doing nothing at all because I've been stuck in the house for 3 months." He starts by praying for his friends. So kids, I've got a job for you. And what I want you to do is to get some paper and some pens. And I want you to do what we did a few weeks ago, where we had a little look on the screen at all the different people we can see. So maybe put it on grid view, that might help. And have a little look at all the lovely people in our church family. And what I want you to do is to choose somebody and to draw a little picture of them. So it can just be a little stick person, or it can be their face, whatever. And what I'd like you to do while I'm talking is try to listen to me at the same time as drawing your person and drawing some fruit around them. So you can draw some apples, bananas, pineapples, whatever kind of fruit you'd like, because Paul talks about God growing fruit in their lives. And what I want you to do is, as you're colouring in those fruits, would you pray for that person? Would you pray the bit of the Bible that we've just heard for them? Would you pray that they would grow in love for God and for other people, that they'd get to know God more, and that as they know God more, they'd be able to make really good choices in their lives? And if you can listen to me at the same time, you get a gold star. So go, be fruitful, colour in your lovely fruit around all of our faces. So Paul starts by greeting his friends in Philippi and praying for them. And he expresses how thankful for them he is, and how thankful he is for how they've been part of the good news. Now, I'm going to attempt to put my slide up. There we go. Pursuing what's best. Look at that. Palm trees. That is definitely what's best. I would like some of those. Anyway, so let's have a look. I don't know about you, but I am often filled with joy and thanks when I think about our church family. I am I count myself really fortunate to be part of a church family that is caring and thoughtful and passionate about God's mission and about pursuing Him. You guys are all really lovely, godly people, and I'm so glad to belong to this church family. And like Paul, I rejoice in the good things that I see in our church family and in all we are doing, have done, and continue to do together in God's name and for His glory. However, I wonder whether, as Paul is thanking God for his friends, he also has an awareness of the times when maybe they still need shaping into God's likeness. Now, this is my glass, and welcome to my world. My glass is always half empty. I tend to notice the things that are wrong before I notice the things that are right. And maybe that's the kind of prophet in me a little bit. I don't know. But even as I think about and I'm thankful for our church family, I still remember the times when maybe a few people have not displayed those characteristics that I just mentioned. Perhaps they haven't been the caring, passionate, godly people that God intended them to be. And just like any family, any normal family, we can sometimes feel a bit disappointed or let down by our brothers and sisters in the church family not displaying those characteristics. Maybe we think that those people should take this course, How to Be a Perfect Christian, Your Comprehensive Guide to Flawless Spiritual Living. I need that course. And maybe some of you do too. Or maybe we should all just be displaying this sign. I am a work in progress. Sorry for any inconvenience caused. I need to just display this as my screen on every leaders meeting ever. I'm a work in progress. Believe me, I am even more aware of my own failings than I am of the people around me. I think these aspects come together to make Philippians 1:6 one of my favourite verses in the Bible. It's a verse that I cling to through frustration with myself and with others. And what I love about it is that Paul, his glass isn't half empty or half full when he's thinking about the church. He's really thankful for them and he rejoices in what's good. And at the same time, he's trusting God and looking to God to continue to shape his friends and to shape himself, I'm sure, into what he believes that God wants for them. So he is confident that God will iron out the creases in our characters, that the ones that are visible to others and the ones that only I know about, that he'll bring this work of salvation that he started in us, of shaping us into his likeness, that he's going to carry that on. And for me, that's a great promise when I'm frustrated with myself and when I'm frustrated with others for not being what we want to be. He's going to bring it to completion. Now, it might take a while and the pace might feel quite frustrating. It can feel like really slow progress, but it's at God's pace. And what we need to do is have patience, because we know this is a truth we can hold on to, that even though it's not complete and it may not be complete until Jesus returns, God is not finished with us yet. I am finished with the first part of my talk. So I'm going to hand back to John, I believe, who is going to lead us in some worship. So kids, carry on colouring in your fruit. Carry on colouring in cool know-how, as Rich has. Right, so this is where we left off. And hopefully, I click on it. There we go. So this is the part of the beginning of Paul's letter that we are praying together as a church. So the idea, it's kind of not quite worked out as well as we'd hoped this week, but hopefully from this week, the idea is that we're going to be praying a part of the passage each week, and we're going to be taking that, and every day we can pray those through as families or as individuals or in our prayer groups or whatever. So this is the portion that we have been praying, and this is taken from the Good News translation, this little bit here. So this is what Paul is praying for his friends in Philippi. So recognizing that there's still more work for God to do in them, what he's praying is that their love will keep on growing more and more, and that as their love grows, this true knowledge will grow in them as they get to know God more, so that they'll be able to choose what is best, free from impurity and blame on the day of Christ, and that their lives would then go on to be filled with the truly good qualities. That's the little fruits that you guys are hopefully drawing and colouring in around people's faces, which only Jesus can produce for the glory and praise of God. So Paul has been praying for his friends, talking about his deep love for them and how he feels really closely connected to them. And it's been hard to feel really closely connected to all of you guys at the moment, but I have loved Zoom, and I've loved how there has been that sense of connection still. And, you know, I mentioned a few weeks back when I last spoke about how loved we'd felt by everybody's gifts and care when Rich lost his brother. And there is that sense of close connection. And so Paul is praying that the church would grow in that, that they'd grow even more closely connected and more have more love for for each other and also for God, that they would be increasingly connected with him, and that as that depth of relationship grows with God, that they would have a deeper understanding too. And that's the true knowledge that the Good News translation uses. And this true knowledge, it isn't just valuable in and of itself, it's so that they'd be able to know and to choose what is best. Or you could say that's a consequence of it. So as you get to know God better, you understand more just instinctively, I guess, through the Spirit, what is the right choice to be making. So that's what Paul's praying for them. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit of my story, and I'm just going to preface it a little bit. Having had been on the end of, you know, some offensive remarks from him, particularly about my faith, they are amazed that I can forgive him and be willing to kind of give him another chance and to show grace to him. And as I've grown closer to God, I have got to know that he is a God of grace, of undeserved love, that even when I continue to make bad choices, he loves me. And so as I've got to know that love, and I've learned what God is like, I've learned that grace is who God is, actually. And it's begun to become a part of who I am too. And so my natural reaction when my brother, he can offend me, he can ignore me, he can not send me a birthday card for 20 years, and I will still do my best to respond lovingly towards him. Now, this is my own circumstances, and I don't know all of yours, and I am not in any way judging if that has not been your response, nor is that my advice necessarily. Every circumstance is different. But what I am saying is that as I've got to know God, it's changed me, and it's changed my choices for the better. And it gives God glory, because my parents recognise that it's my faith, it's my friendship with Jesus that has enabled me to respond with forgiveness and with grace instead of anger when my brother has kind of made moves to try and be reconciled. So Paul knows all about this process. He has lived it himself. He's gone from being a murderer of Christians in the first part of Acts to being one of their leaders. And so he prays for this process of getting to know God and becoming more like him as we fall more in love with God and we become part of that love, that we will then naturally give that out. Inspired by my lovely husband, Mr. Diagram Man, as he is known to his friends, here is a little flowchart for you. It is Paul's flowchart of love. And so this is how it works, guys. This is how Paul is saying it works. That as you get this first-hand knowledge of God's love, you will go, hang on a minute, am I going that way or that way? I'm not sure. I don't know. I may be going the wrong way for your screens, but you will increase in this discernment, this ability to understand what is good, what are the right choices to make, and then you'll be able to choose what is best. So this is what he's praying for his friends in Philippi. Hopefully this has inspired you to pray this prayer for our church family, for yourself, for someone you might be finding difficult, for all of us. So let's think about whether we can use this prayer as a starting point, especially if you're feeling frustrated with yourself or with people around you. Let's pray that I or they or we will have confidence in God to complete the work that he started in us, that we would increase in love for each other, and for him, and that God would help us to understand how to live rightly and then to put that into practice, because as we get to know him more, we become more like him. And that is the promise of Philippians 1:6 that I absolutely love. So I'm going to leave that with you. And I think you're going back to Richmond now. Is that right, Richmond?
Yes, it is. Thank you ever so much. That's absolutely wonderful. It's a pity that Rich feels that the diagram really needed more, because I thought that was actually perfect as a diagram. It tells us everything we need to know, and it's incredibly memorable. So we need that up again later. Yes, thank you, Carl. Less is definitely more in this case. Yes, okay. There's some chat coming up from Rich now. He's backtracking. But that's fine. Thank you ever so much, Laura. That's wonderful. Groups that we have links with. Or it could just be entire people groups that we know something about their situation. And we want to just talk to God about it. So we're going to start with a few particular people coming in. And at the end, we're going to have time for us all to individually pray, speak to God about the people that we have on our hearts and find them on the map. And then hopefully later there might be time just to find out how many people in how many different places got prayed for. But we're going to start with Roger and Norm and Gemma, because they are our links directly to some particular groups. Roger's going to talk about people of Brazil, the Rubacha tribe, who we've had links with for a long, long decades and decades, because Sheila spent 40 years with them, translating the New Testament for them. Then we're going to hear from Norman about our links in India with the church in Hyderabad and Mumbai and the Children's Home. And finally, we're going to listen to Gemma. Gemma's going to speak to us and pray for the orphanage in Lipova and the churches in Calafindesh in Romania. So over to you, Roger.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. As Richmond has said, I'm praying for Brazil, and in particular, the indigenous Indians who live on reservations. We know that COVID-19 has reached them. Currently, there are approximately 800 deaths. And in the region that the Rubacha Indians are in, there have been 56 deaths, but we don't have figures for the tribe. The government of President Bolsonaro is anti the First Nation Indians. He has been instructed by the judges to put a rescue package in place, but is refusing to do so on cost grounds. That's the background, so let us pray. Father, we ask you to bless and protect those we know and love in Brazil. I want to bring to you first the political situation, and I pray for justice for the First Nation Indians, that you will soften the heart of President Bolsonaro and bring about a change of direction so that, irrespective of cost, the Indians will get the same treatment as other Brazilians, and that a rescue package will be put in place to keep deaths as low as possible. And please bring your gospel to the region. And now, Father, turning to the Rubacha, with whom Sheila spent the majority of her life, that you will afford them your protection, that you will bless and encourage those who are working with them for your kingdom's sake. We pray for your word, which was presented in written form to the tribe nearly 20 years ago, that it will bring comfort to many and will be a springboard for expanding your kingdom in that area. Father, may they know your presence through all their adversity and trials. And what we pray for the Rubacha, we pray for all vulnerable indigenous Indians, without protection and help, could become a very tragic situation. Please intervene in your love and grace. We pray for all living in Brazil, where there is fear and insecurity, that they may call out to the only true and living God for their salvation. Amen. And now we're going over to India with Norman. Look at the hairstyle.
Well, greetings from Cornwall and a very iffy internet connection. Hope it works. But Lord, I want to thank you for our friends in Hyderabad, first of all, in India. I want to thank you for a Sharon Church that we have our contacts with in particular. I pray for Zachariah and Elizabeth, and thank you for them who served you for many decades, for Jacob and his new wife as they assist him, for John David and Pavani as they lead the work at Kushai Gouda, and I pray for them great success with Pastor Steve and his wife at Bandla Gouda, and also for Solomon and Esther, who are in the process of hoping to start another congregation in another district. I want to pray for all of those leaders and, of course, the members of the Sharon churches, and that you will bless them. Thank you for their work amongst the poorer people with the medical camps, the saving site initiatives, and generally, particularly during this epidemic, helping distribute food to the poor. We pray that you will continue to bless them and protect them, Lord, from the virus, which seems to be increasing very badly out there in India. I pray that you will protect the church and protect those people from it. Also, Lord, protect them from the increasing opposition that comes to them and all Christians from the militant Hindu wing of society out there, and I pray that you will protect them, help them to be fearless yet protected and wise. And Lord, just going a little bit further south, thank you for the Anugrah Children's Home, where we were privileged to provide funds for them to build a school good many years ago now. Pray you'll bless them and continue to bless them. Many wonderful Christian families have emerged from that children's home. And I want to pray about succession, because as Isla's getting older and not incredibly well, someone to take the work on. And also in Nasik with our great friend Sunil Paul and the Faith Centre there. We commit all these works to you, Lord, because you're a worldwide God, and we thank you for all that you are doing, and we thank you for the privilege many of us have had of being directly involved in these areas. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So from South America to Asia, over to Europe, and Gemma.
Thank you, Norman. So, Father, we ask that you bless and protect our friends and contacts that we know and love in Romania. Keep them safe in your love, able to discern and pursue what is best in your plans, and joyful in your presence through all adversity. We pray especially for Tatiana, Mariana, Leonte, and others that we know ministering in Calafindesht in the north of Romania. We also remember the hundreds of young people impacted by the holiday clubs and youth programs that we ran over the years. We pray for good health and peace for Nicolina, who with her late husband was a key contact for a church in the north of Romania. We pray also for Moise and Nuzi and their family as they lead the church in Lipova and run the children's home. We pray for all our friends in the church and in the children's home, for strength, wisdom, and reliance on God for his provision. Finally, we pray for all of those who live in Romania, that they may know peace and security both in politics and health. We ask for your blessing on all who live in that nation, on those who are near to you and those who are far off. For we know and love only a few of them, but they are all known and loved by you, glorious and loving Father. Amen.